for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, February the 17th, 2018. Gene Williams is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Biblical Reasons Why God Won't Move in Your Situation.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I cover myself and this building with the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask for giant warrior angels to protect us and to come and assist me as I teach your word. Lord, your word says in John, the 3rd chapter, verse 30, He must increase and I must decrease. So I step aside to give you free course to minister to your people. And I ask the Holy Spirit to give us a teachable spirit and a learning spirit of your word. And Lord, we just give you thanks and we give you all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Give my hand. I just love the Lord.
Amen.
This teaching, what I want to teach on today, it was birthed out of a situation that I was going through, me and my husband. And the title of this message is Biblical Reasons God Won't Move in Your Situation. I know some of you don't know my grandbaby, Brock, and a lot of you all do know him. My husband and I went through something with my grandbaby. We got a call that 2 o'clock in the morning he was walking the street at 3 years old. He knocked on the neighbor's door and asked, "Where is my mother?" Now, I'm talking about Illinois, Chicago. Huh. How Jesus kept him. The only thing Kerner and I can think of is he could have been molested. Someone could have took him. They could have killed him. He could have been in a ditch. But God said no. Mercy said no. And the prayers that we pray, and just to protect my baby, my grandson, God did just that. But Kerner and I were so upset. We going to get our grandbaby.
That's right.
So we go to Chicago. We position the court, petition the court, that we want to get custody of our grandson because of what had happened. It was a police report that he was walking the street, but they did not take his mother to jail because they felt like it was edible water and lights, and he had a decent place to stay. He didn't seem like he was neglected. So we'll keep him in the home. So anyway, Kern and I went and we petitioned the court to get custody. They had us to come back in 3 weeks. We drove right up to Chicago, Illinois. We would stand before the judge. The judge said, "I can't believe this happened to this baby. I'm going to grant you custody." And Kern and I was like, "What? I should go get custody? We going to take him home?" And then the judge turned around and say, "Well, where's the mother? Is the mother available? Did she know that she had a court hearing today?" And we was like, "Yes, Your Honor. She knew that she had to be in court." So she said, "Well, can you call her?" I said, "Well, I can call her and see if she would come." So I called her. She cussed me out on the phone. She finally came up to the court. She told the judge that she did not want us to have custody of this baby, and she petitioned the court that we would not get custody. So we had to come back in 3 more weeks. Kerner and I, we prayed, we fasted, we cried out to the Lord that we know that this baby was supposed to be with us, and we can do this for this baby. We can protect him because he was our grandbaby, and we loved him, and we wanted him. But we get to court, and we didn't feel anything like God was not going to answer our prayer. It's like we knew we had this. He was coming back to Savannah with us. So we get into court. The mother there, the judge there, the judge heard our side. She knew about the report that the baby walked, you know, out of the house 2:30 in the morning. And about 30, it took only 30 minutes for her to make her decision. And the only thing that baby mother said was, he has other siblings, and I don't want him to be raised without them. And the judge honored that. So when me and Kerner, of course, walked out of that courtroom, our spirit was crushed. But when I came home, God began to deal with me. It was not the appointed time and season for him to come. See, we had a choice. We can get mad at God. We can complain. We can murmur. We did all of that, true enough. I have to honestly say that. But God, I believe he has a plan that he will be with us again. But it's in his timing if we don't faint not. So I say to you today, why don't God move in your situation? Do you have a situation like I had, my husband and I, where we believe that we serve the Lord with our whole heart and soul? We live him right to the best of our ability. We doing the work of the Lord. And why my grandson couldn't come with me? I have to say it was devastating. But I know one day that God will vindicate.
Amen. You're going to have him back.
Oh, yes. And I believe that, Jerry. I thank you for that. But I just want to say to you today, have you ever felt like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling?
Yes.
That they never get answered. God created you, and he knows everything about you. There is nothing that gets by God. He already knew what was going to happen in that courtroom before Kern and I got there. He already had this plan and worked out. And I believe that we was going through a testing and a trying time of our faith. So I want to say to you today, it's the same way with our prayers. That God answered them in his timing, not when we want him to answer our prayers. You know, God began to deal with me about my son. I remember times that my son asked me, could he have certain things? Can I do this for him? Could I do that? And I told him no. And God reminded me, it's the same way, daughter. You don't always get your way. It's in my timing. And I said, Lord, I never thought of it that way. Because I always felt like, as long as I live right, heaven belongs to me. Of course it does. But it's in God's will, and it's in God's time. Amen? But I want to talk to you again about biblical reasons. In Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, in the Amplified Bible says, there is a season, a time, and appointed for everything, and a time for every delight, event, or purpose under heaven. Solomon wrote, there is an appointed time for our prayers to be moved, to be answered. It's not that he won't answer your prayers, but he has an appointed time to move in your situation. He has an appointed time to move in your situation. Many believers want God to move according to their time schedule and not God. And that's what happened to my husband and I. We have made up in our mind we're going to get it. Did we really seek God with our whole heart and soul? Or did we move by our feelings, what we felt about this situation? Yes, that's what we did. We're going to get it. But what did God say? Amen? The first thing I want to talk about is biblical reason why God won't move in your situation. And the first thing I believe that these was handpicked for you today, because God is not finished with you yet. There's some old gold nuggets that he wants you to take with you. Amen? That he wants to use. And like my sister Tammy said, you know, it just don't end here, but when we go home, that's when it really begins. But the first thing I believe why God won't move in your situation is because of your faith. I believe because of your faith. The Bible says if we only have faith as a little faith as a mustard seed, that's all we have. Do you know how small a mustard seed is? It's very small. You barely can even see it. That's all the faith we have to have. And I believe a lot of times our prayers don't get answered. It's because of our faith and what we believe. And if we only have a little faith, God works in response of our faith. So if we have faith and we believe and trust God that he's going to move in our situation and don't get weary, then God can move. A lot of times we pray and we ask God to move a situation, but we turn around and try to tell God what to do. This is how it should be, God. This is what we should be doing. So that tells me you have little faith. You don't have faith in God. To have faith in God is to release it to him. And I mean laying it at his feet, not worrying about it, walking away from it, knowing that God got your situation. That right now faith. The Bible says now is the faith and something of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. But if we don't see it, we can't believe it. But we only need to have a little faith. The Bible said in the Matthew's the 17th chapter, verse 20, he answered, because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence, the powers of God. For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there. And if it's God's will, there it is. If it's God's will, it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. If it's God's will. You may say, God is not moving in your situation. You can't see it right now. But he is working out his purpose in your situation. Nothing can hinder God's purpose for his children. You can't see what he's doing. You're crying. You're screaming. You're kicking. But let me say that. Let me just say this. There is nothing that you can do to move him if it's not in his timing. You can scream. You can kick. You can yell. You can pout. You can do whatever. That do not move the hand of God. The Bible says in Romans the 8th chapter verse 28, and I'm coming from the Amplified. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan. For good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Did you get that? All things work together. He has a plan and it's a purpose for it. So if you only have faith as a mustard seed, God can move in your situation. Number two, many times God won't move in your situation because there is sin in your life. You are seeking God, but refusing to acknowledge him. And God cannot move in your situation with sin in your life. The Bible says in Psalms, the 66th chapter, verse 18, if I regard sin and baseness in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord would not hear me. Now that's the word of God. So if you have sin in your heart, you mean to tell me that God would not hear me? That's what his word just said. So we have to get rid of those sins, those things that so easily to beseech us. We have to get rid of those things in order for God to move in our situation. The Bible says in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 2, but your wickedness has separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now that's the word of God. So that means, you mean to tell me, if I have sin in my life, God turns a deaf ear? He doesn't hear me? My prayer is really just bouncing off the ceiling. Because of sin has separated God. Amen? We cannot fully choose to disobey God and expect him to bless us. We think that we can do any and everything and the blessing of the Lord come upon us. The ideal is for our prayers to be heard, there must be a purpose to forsake all forms of sin. This is a great and most important principle in regards to your prayer being answered. So I'm giving you some nuggets tonight. And if you hear and you have sin, are you hiding any hidden sin? Don't expect prayers to be answered. Number 3, God won't move in your situation because he's seeking to change your heart. Some of you need a new heart today. And God wants to give you a new heart and take out the stony heart. The Bible says in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, verse 26, moreover, I would give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And that's what God wants to do today. And I believe God has already started the process. He has already to begin to give you a new heart today. The Bible says in Psalms 51, chapter verse 10, you can write all these scriptures down and go back and check them yourself. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. We need to ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us today. I believe God wants to change your heart today. And I believe God wants to do a work within you. He is developing his mind and heart in you today. And I know you can feel it. Because God has already begun the work on Friday night. And he's not finished.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. He is forcing you to seek his face for wisdom, faith, grace, strength. He is shaping you into his image. This is what's really happening. He is shaping you and forming you in the likeness of his image.
Amen.
Number 4. God may not move in your situation because you're going to have to endure an affliction test. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, Paul speaks of a thorn in his flesh. Whether Paul was referring to a physical, spiritual, or emotional affliction, it was a source of a real pain in the Apostle Paul's life. He calls it a messenger of Satan that had a purpose to torment him. This affliction kept him from becoming conceited and humble. God may not move an affliction from you to keep you humble. You may have a situation now and you're saying, I prayed, I fasted, I did everything that I thought was right. But he didn't move in my situation. What is God telling you? What is he trying to tell you in this situation that he will not move, that you desperately want him to do? His grace is sufficient. Paul said it was a messenger of Satan that had a purpose to torment him. I know some of you feel the same way Paul felt, that you had afflictions on you, and it was a torment spirit that seemed like it would never end. I have prayed, I have fasted, I asked him to move this thing, and he never moved it. But it kept me humble. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take us to a place where we can submit totally and surrender to him. He's doing a work in us, because we all need a work done in us. And if it takes an affliction to bring you to a place where you need to be, then let it be. Number five. Many times, God will not move in your situation because it's not according to his will, or it's not in alignment with his purpose, destiny for you. Let me read that again. Number five. Many times, God will not move in your situation because it's not in accordance to his will, or it's not in alignment with his purpose, destiny for you. If God's not moving in your situation, maybe there are some lessons he is trying to teach you. He wants to get the glory. He's working a good work in you. So if you're going through any trials or any tribulations, and you don't understand why God has not moved in your situation, go to the throne. He will reveal it to you. He will show you why he hasn't moved in this situation. You see, that's how I felt. Why haven't you moved in my situation? But I can understand it clearly now. God is working and moving in his timing. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15, this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us, and whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked from him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, 6, that's chapter 3, 5, and 6, trust in and rely confidently, and this is the Amplified Bible, on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, acknowledge, and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. So you mean to tell me, if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding, he will direct my path. He will clear the way. That's powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. I just heard him say, it's simple. We make it hard. It's a simple task. It's not hard. It's simple. Do you get it tonight? It's easy to say, we trust God. But our response to delays, frustrations, and difficulties situation exposes where we are actually placing our hope in. You're frustrated. You're disappointed. Things are so difficult. You're mad. And some of you get to the point where you're cursing because you're so upset. Come on, let's be real. Can we talk about it tonight? We get so upset because God is not moving. But I'm giving you some nuggets tonight. Are you convinced that God is listening to you tonight? Do you believe that He's listening to you?
Yes.
Do you believe that He's good?
Yes.
Do we doubt that He really cares about us? Because some of you here that came in this door on Friday, you doubted that. But I pray tonight that there's no more doubt.
Amen.
That you have trusted Him, you believe Him, you rely on Him for every situation. When we choose to wait quietly and trust in Him, we not only honor God by encouraging us to put our hope in Him. If we choose to wait quietly before the Lord and hear Him and follow His instruction and His voice, then we have hope in Him. Number 6, many times when God doesn't move, maybe you have the wrong motives and ungodly prayers. Could it have been Kerner and myself? We had the wrong motive about the situation. We didn't really go to God sincerely and ask Him what the situation and the plan is. Because if you have the wrong motives, your prayers won't get answered anyway. Because I remember my God telling me that He searches the heart of man. So when He looks in that heart, what does He see? Deceitful? What does He see? Do He see an honest, pure heart? What does He see in your heart tonight? The Bible says in James, the 4th chapter, verse 3, you ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with the wrong motives. Out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda. So that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your own self-indulgent pleasures, seekers, and desires. So He didn't give you what you want because of your own selfish desires. Because your motives was wrong when you prayed and asked Him for it. I got a gold nugget for you. He searches the heart of man. So when you go before the throne and you begin to pray and seek God, He already knows your motive. He already knows it. There's no secret. He sees and knows everything. The last time I checked my Bible, He said His eyes go to and fro along the earth. And that tells me nothing gets by Him. If our motives are not in alignment with His will, don't expect for Him to respond. In Proverbs 16, chapter verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean and innocent in his own eyes. And he may see nothing wrong with his actions. But the Lord weighs and examines the motives and the intents of the heart and knows the truth. Your own motives may seem clean and pure to you. But when God looks in your heart, He sees something differently. So what do He see in your heart tonight? When God looks in your heart, what do He see? Do He see a pure heart? Ask yourself that. What do you see? Every day, I go before the throne and I ask the Holy Spirit, search my heart. And if you find anything that is not like me, take it out. This is a daily thing that I pray. Because I don't want to stand here before you and minister the word of God. And I'm all messed up. The last time I checked my Bible, you have become a castaway. And I refuse to be a castaway. Amen? Number 7. God did not answer so you can grow in humility. Some of us need a humility. We need to grow in humility. The Bible says in James the 4th chapter verse 10, humble yourself with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord. And he will exalt you. He will lift you up. And he will give you purpose. So you mean to tell me, if I humble myself before the Lord with an attitude of repentance, he will lift me up and he will give me a purpose and he will exalt me? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:16, your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great men. There's nothing that you have to do to prove yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 4. Before we go there, one more thing I want to say before we go to that chapter. Growing in humility means pride has to be done away with. Growing in humility means pride has to be done away with. Learning to love like Jesus requires us to say no to self.
Come on.
To selfish ambition. Put it away. Selfish desire. Now let's go to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 4. The reward of humility, that is, having a realistic view of one's importance and the reverent worship, fear of the Lord, is riches and honor and life. The fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, chapter verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but he who is a humble spirit will obtain honor. You getting it? The Bible says in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 29, the law is far from the wicked. He's not near, he's far. And distance himself from them. But he hears the prayers of the consistently righteous. That is, those with spiritual integrity and moral courage. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that is beautiful. And I want to read that one more time because I think it went over somebody's head. The Lord is far from wicked and distant himself from them. But he hears the prayers of the consistently righteous, that is, those with spiritual integrity and more courage. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 9, and I'm honoring you tonight with some scriptures, so don't take them and throw them aside. Please apply them. He who turned his ear away from listening to the law of God and man, even his prayer is repulsive, disgusting to God. We serve a jealous God. And he said that he would not have any other gods before him. There's only one God.
That's right.
Number 8. God did not answer because you have a doubting spirit. You doubt in everything. The Bible says in James, the 1st chapter, verse 6, but he must ask for wisdom and faith without doubting God's willingness to help. But the one who doubts, it's like a billowing surge of sea that is blown out and tossed by the wind. We need to get rid of the doubting Thomas spirit. The doubting Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hand, talking about Jesus, and put my finger where the nails were put, my hand into his side, I would not believe it. If Thomas couldn't see it, he couldn't believe it. So we need to pray for the doubting Thomas spirit to go and loose us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 9. God did not answer because of a hypocritical prayer for attention. How many times you've seen people just praying for attention? Look at me, how I pray. Oh, I can roll it out. God does not answer that. When he look in your heart, he already know your intentions. You don't have to impress me. The Bible says in Matthew the 6th chapter verse 5, also when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray publicly, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, so that they may be seen by men. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. And that's the word of God. If our prayers are not pure, and it's done out of showmanship, God won't answer them. Remember, he searches the heart, man. So when you look in your heart, do you see purity? Or do you see deceitfulness? Number 10. God did not answer because you are giving up without praying continually. Right when you give up, he's ready to answer it. But you were quickly ready to give up. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 17 through 18, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances is, be thankful. Continually give thanks to God. But this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Never giving up. Being persistently, always in praying. Don't let up until you see the manifestation, until you see a change. Never giving up. Being persistent, always in prayer, and trusting God is with you, and he is actively involved and engaged in your thoughts and your actions. Because you don't see him, because you don't feel nothing, do not mean that he is not near. He's always there. God may not answer in our timing or in the way we expect him to. He will accomplish his good purposes in our lives when we wait for him and persevere in prayer. We have microwave prayers. Ding, ding. It's ready. But God is saying, no. Just a little longer. I'm about to answer you, my friend. But you so quickly to give up. We spend more time on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, that we give God. And I want to say to you, because I said that earlier, he brings it back in my spirit, so there's somebody here giving the internet, Facebook, Twitter, all God's time. And he's a jealous God. Some of the prayers haven't been answered because of that. If you put the time in Jesus, which you give to social media, you will see some prayers get answered. Number 11. God won't move because you have unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And we talked about that every time the speakers come up here to minister to you. The Bible says in Mark 11, chapter verse 25, through 26. Excuse me. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go. So that your Father, who is in heaven, will also forgive you for your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. Number 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. So, you telling me, if I don't forgive my brothers and sisters or anyone who hurt me, he won't forgive me of mine?
That's the word.
That's the word. This nugget, these are nuggets. Straight from the throne.
All right.
And it's up to you what you do with it. Unforgiveness robs you of the full life God intends for us. It's so much he wants to give you. It's so much he wants to do for you, but you have to let it go. Unforgiveness, it cripples you and keep you from possessing your promise, what we talked about today. So if you are holding any unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers are hindered. Don't come here and get all of this deliverance and let it be in vain that you did not forgive those that hurt you or disappoint you. You have to forgive. Unforgiveness can be an opening for Satan to derail us. And it is. These are the tricks of the enemy. Number 12. Maybe he is not moving in that situation because he has something better for you. You want the Kia, but he want to give you the Mercedes Benz. You wanted a zero, but he want to give you a hero. Oh yeah, we know about them heroes. He has something better for you. Let me tell you something. God give you the best. When he blesses, he give you the best. And he want the best for you. He don't want you to have hand-me-downs. He wants you to have the best. And you must believe that. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purposes and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask of or think. And finally, beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is working within us. More than we can ask for. He's already working it out for you. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, this was the last one. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disasters, to give you a future and a hope. Let me read that again, and it's coming from the Amplified Bible. For I know the plans and the thoughts. So you mean to tell me God knows the plan and the thoughts?
Yeah.
He said that he has for you.
Yeah.
This is personal.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
And the plans is for peace.
Yes.
For well-being.
Yes.
And not for disasters.
Exactly.
And to give you a future that is of hope. So I say to you tonight, this is a personal walk with you.
Yes.
Amen.
Mama can't get you there.
That's right.
Daddy can't get you there. Husband can't get you there. Children can't get you there. This is between you and Jesus.
Amen.
So I want to say to you tonight, that mountain that you begged God for to move, and he didn't budge. It did not move. Can you still trust him? The job you prayed for and begged God for, and you still find yourself in the unemployment line. You waiting by the phone, no calls never come. Can you trust him tonight? The demon of drug and alcohol, addiction, you prayed for deliverance, but you still taking a hit every now and then. Can you still trust him for your deliverance? That loved one that you begged God to heal, but he didn't move. You end up attending a funeral. Can you still trust him? And see, I can testify to that. I prayed and cried out that God would heal my mother. But one day when I was at work, he said, prepare yourself. You see, I was selfish, but she was ready. And he took her home. So can you trust him today? Can you trust God? The marriage, you begged God to save, but you landed in divorce court. Can you still trust him today? Can you still trust him through your divorce? Is he still Lord today in your life? Maybe the man you married, you realize you made a mistake, and now you want God to move.
Wow, I didn't expect that.
Can you trust him? Remember I say, God gives you heroes. But you begged God for this. You begged, now you're saying, God, I thought I wanted this, but this right here taking me through something. Can you move this, Lord? But God don't move. Can you still trust him? You may be asking God to move the abuse. You may be going through abuse. You cried, you prayed, the abuse goes on and on and on. And it seems to get worse. You cried, you kicked, you screamed, and he never moved. It seemed like the abuse gets worse and worse and worse. Can you still trust him? Many times, we feel like David did when he cried out, Lord, how long? Many of us have asked those questions. Lord, how long will you forsake me? How long will I go through these trials and tribulations? But can you still trust him tonight? He's still God, even in your trials and tribulations. Nothing has changed. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing has changed. Many of you here today, like David, you are saying, Lord, deliver me. You feeling God has abandoned you. He left you all alone. But I got news for you. He's still there. The feelings of loss and abandonment are so great that you are unable to see when the end will come. You may feel the protection, the refuge, and the safety of the Lord seems to have been taken away. But he's still there. Your emotions are eating up on every side. You wrestle with your emotions and you feel like giving up. He's still there. If you don't faint, he's there. When circumstances press us hard into God's word and force us to seek for wisdom, faith, grace, and strength, our faith begins to increase as trials, heartbreaks, and circumstances beyond our control force us to turn to our all-powerful. The trials and the tribulation pushes you to the kingdom. Can you trust him today? Every time we acknowledge our weaknesses and see in Him act on our behalf, our faith grows. Before long, we have a long list of answered prayers that makes it easier and easier to trust Him. God's word is sacred. It does not return to Him void. Isaiah 55:11. It is full of purpose, and He is breathing life into the promises that He has given you. He is breathing life into the destiny that has been asleep. So I say, wake up. Through circumstances, shut breathing. Through circumstances, shut your future down. People may fail you, and many have. Abandoned you, and many have. Misjudged you, and many have. Accused you, and many have. Slandered you, and even stolen from you. God's word remains sovereign through it all. The Spirit of the living God sees what is hidden. He sees the words that have yet to be fulfilled in you, and He is watching over each and every one of them to perform them in His timing. I believe He is breathing and moving through every grave that holds dead dreams through the grace of hope deferred. Through everything that has tangled your faith and paralyzed your movement, He is there. I believe Jesus Christ is speaking life into the makeup of who you are, conforming, confounding the frequency of the sound of every voice that speak against your destiny and divine design. He's still there. I believe the Bible says Jesus is speaking to us today. And He is saying, if we have faith and sincerely trust Him, we would not be concerned as to whether the answer is to wait or the answer is no or yes. We must trust and wait and see if God and His timing will see fit to answer our prayers. Most important, remember, your prayer shall always end, not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. Oh, I feel His sweet presence. Not my will. It's personal tonight. And He wants to get personal with you. The Bible says, God never slumber or sleep. He never stops working, even if you don't see Him. He never stops working. God wants to do something different tonight. And I believe it's very important that we listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, He moves. When I prepared this message, God gave me a song. And I'm going to ask Tammy to put the song on. And you can go ahead and put it on. And I asked the Lord, what do you have for your people? What do you want to do? It's not about me. And I heard the Lord say, it's personal. So we call it an altar call tonight. And I want you to get personal with Him. You know what you're dealing with. You know what's going on. And this is your time. This is all about you tonight. This is all about you in the kingdom. It has nothing to do with me. This is a personal walk. So everything that you're dealing with, you're going through, lay it at the altar. It may be your children. It may be your husband. It may be your job. It even may be your grandchildren. I don't know what it is, but I know a man that knows it all. His name is Jesus. So I say to you today, search your heart. You can either sit at your feet, lay prostrate, however you want to do it. Lay at the altar. And Miss Tammy, play the seat.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.